Good morning, everybody. It's really nice to see everybody. Good morning. We have the student paper award winner in the audience, so I'm proud to David Swetler. Thank you very much for all attending. I know last day we can have yours, but I'd like to talk to you a little bit about a research study that we conducted over a period of time in the People's Republic of China. It was a true international collaboration, which I really enjoy. I think an injury, we see our issues in the States here, but internationally, as we share our methodologies and approaches, we're able to solve a lot of problems across a lot of regions. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors from all the way from China to Germany to D.C. To the U.K., Paris. Kazai Jin was a postdoc of mine who really executed most of this study back and forth from Harvard to China during the process of this study. So I have really no disclosures. You've all heard about our institute, I'm sure, throughout the week, so you know a lot about our institution. And please feel free to give me a call or anybody else from the institute if you're in the area for a visit. I think you'll find it an intriguing place. So let's talk a little bit about the study objectives. Early work shift start times and night shifts have been associated with reduced sleep duration, poor sleep quality, and an increased fatigue. And when we talk about fatigue here, I'm talking about fatigue in terms of, we've defined it as a biological drive for recuperative rest. And what goes into that is basically your circadian patterns through the day, the type of tasks and work efforts that you're doing through the day, and also some of the issues, of course, around your sleep time. But if you don't get that recuperative rest, so that get into your sleep homeostasis, we then have all kinds of errors that occur, errors of omission, accidents as outcomes, injuries as outcomes. So clearly that sleep, we believe, of course, sleep, good sleep, long sleep, good quality sleep is the most important thing here. So what we try to investigate in this particular study, I'll talk a little bit more about the cohort, is the impact of the work shift starting times, again, in the People's Republic of China, which is a lot different than I think what you'll see in the States, on their sleep duration, their sleep quality, and alertness and sleepiness. Going into this, we really didn't know a lot about this, the impact of this would be. We know in the U.S., of course, from the previous studies that it has a significant impact. So we conducted a large epidemiologic field study of hospitalized adults with acute traumatic upper extremity trauma or hand trauma. Most of them were severe because they're hospitalized. We've published on this quite a bit, this cohort, so if you're interested in reading more, please let me know. A little bit of the background about hand trauma in the People's Republic of China. It essentially accounts for a very large percentage of all emergency room department visits. Again, that's across the general population. If you look at the work-relatedness, is a huge range of what's published out there. We have some of the estimates in there from our studies, but smaller studies, about 43 to 90%. So you can see it's a really big problem in PRC. And they tend to be much more severe than in the States. So it's a lot of unprotected hand injuries, crushes, severe crushes, amputations, and very high on that hand injury severity type scores. When you look at the population and what's been published in China, you see that a lot of the risk factors that they have looked at have been related to work hours, pace, high mental work stress. So it's definitely a worthy investigation with regards to hand injuries. A little bit about the population. We collected face-to-face interviews over a 2.5-year period in the PRC, hospitalized bedside by each patient. It was in the three cities, their industrial cities, Ningbo, Wuxi, and Lizhou. The inclusion criteria are stated. We excluded those that have more cumulative type traumas or needle sticks. We mirrored our U.S. study. We did a previous study in the U.S. of about 1,300 individuals. The design was a case crossover design, and this is very similar design. The study was approved by the IRC of both the Liberty Mutual Research Institute for Safety, Harvard, And Fudan School of Public Health, we actually had to go over there and set up the IRB because there was no IRB. So we have a paper on developing studies in China as well based on this study. So you can see it's very different. We screened about 730 hospitalized individuals. The physicians got the informed consent. That's also another very interesting issue. Signature, people won't give you signature in China. It's very important. They would not give us just to do the study. Payment was very different. Incentive was different. So there's a lot of differences, but we had to overcome that. So we did end up with 703 completed face-to-face interviews. Key to this type of study design was the rapid fallback within the time of the injury, because we were looking primarily at transient risk factors. So that creates, of course, an operational problem to be able to interview people very quickly after they're injured in the hospital. So we had a large team out there. It was cross-translated from an English version of the similar questionnaire. In this particular study, this particular analysis, Dr. Folkert from the UK, who's been working in chronobiology with me for a long time, came up with primarily most of the questions for this to integrate into this case crossover study a priori. So we were particularly interested in, of course, injury dates and times, the structure of their work day, the timing of the work schedule, start time, end times, rest breaks. We also wanted to go back in time night before, previous night before that, and sleep times. Clearly, because it's a retrospective at ascertainment, because they come in as cases, it's self-reported. So sleep time, wake time, we did the night before the injury and two previous days. We asked on a particular scale of sleep quality, a scale of 1 to 10. And alertness and sleepiness, again, at the time of the injury and two previous days, we used the Karolinska sleepiness scale of 1 to 9, where, of course, one is the best, 9 is the worst on both of those scales. So with regards to methodology, we used an analysis covariance approach to look at just generally mean differences, controlling for several variables. So our main effect was the work shift starting time. And to get sufficient cell sizes, we broke it into eight three-hour increments across the 24-hour workday. With regards to covariates, we had, for this particular analysis, we looked at age, gender, shift duration, work days per week, day of injury interactions, several interactions. Again, we would use, if we were looking at sleep duration, we would have sleep quality and alertness as control variables. Likewise, we would swap them out when we're looking at the other. An important effect modification examination was by gender that we used, and I'll show you the results of these. Generally, again, the 703 individuals, we had about 75% male. Occupation, I just list the top three here, but generally it's manufacturing, a lot of machinery manufacturing, automobile manufacturing, fabricated metals, a lot of sharps involved here, a lot of crushing exposures. Interestingly, the average age in this particular population is about 32. I think the U.S. study, we got closer to 39, 40, so a little younger. Average, again, those are confidence intervals there, not ranges. Daily work, here are some of the very, very interesting pieces, I thought. Just from the descriptive perspective, the average hours of a particular, of a work day was about 9.5 hours a day. So you got pretty long days to start. And also about 6.5 days per week. So you've got, so the multiplying that, their average weekly hours are about 55 to 60 hours per week on average. So you'd see many that were in the 70s. And of course, you've got some less than that. We published recently a paper on break duration and break issues regarding this population and how important breaks are with regards to the actual injury outcome rather than the sleep duration. But and their average sleep duration here is very striking as well, 8.5 hours, which is, as you'll see, about 1.5 hours longer than the average sleep duration in the United States. From pretty much every survey you look at, it's about 7. It's about 7. So they sleep a lot and they work a lot. So there's not a lot of spare time in the day. Just a little bit to get a little peek into the data. You can see, just like in the U.S., it's really hard to get a lot of, you have to have pretty large sample sizes to get at small cells of shifts work starting time. So that's the uniqueness, I think, of this particular data set, is we were able to get some sampling across the workday to see what the impacts were on the outcomes, as well as some variation in sleep start times and sleep end times based on the 24-hour local clock time. So that's basically the analysis data. With regards to results, looking at the mean and the 95% confidence intervals of sleep duration across the work shift starting time, what we do see here is definitely a pattern. Again, it was about 8.5 hours on average, and you see the variation where those that kind of, when they go to work at the regular, I would say, traditional starting hours that we're all used to, you get to see pretty long sleeps, very healthy sleeps. And as the day goes long into the work shift starting times, you start seeing a real degradation in the duration of sleep. With regards to looking at it in terms of effect modification, there's a strong component of effect modification. What you see here is among the female population, it was a much stronger effect with regards to less sleep, less significant sleep among the females starting at late at night. As with the males, however, this effect was also among the 2200 to 0600 category. So there's a significant impact on shift work starting time for both males and females, but stronger in the females. With regards to sleep quality, what we see here is there was no significant effect, and I'll discuss this in the end, across work shift starting times with regards to sleep quality as measured on our scale. With regards to the Karolinska sleepiness scale with alertness at the time of the injury, you see very little difference. Everybody was generally alert at the time of their injury based on this scale, which is it's a validated scale, so it's been used quite a bit if you're in this area. So the conclusions of this particular analysis is the overall mean sleep duration was shortest for work shifts starting at 2100 to 2359 at the lowest. And, of course, at about midnight, so the night shifts, there was a statistically significant interaction between gender and work shift starting times on one's mean sleep duration. The lowest for males was, again, at 2100. It was about 5.6 hours, and for females, 4.3 hours, which is half that of the average. So that's a pretty strong effect. Again, sleep quality and alertness, and this was unexpected. Actually, we hypothesized that it would be impacted by these things, but it wasn't. However, so let me discuss, as we know, limitations, self-reportedness of retrospective, any kind of retrospective study, not just a case crossover study or any, is that we have potentially some recall bias. We don't have any controls in this study. They're all cases because it's from a case crossover study. There are some small sample sizes, but I'll tell you, we did 700 cases, which is a pretty large study in our field to be able to do interviews with. So to get some variation, I don't think that this would be very hard to replicate this study with regards to the effort. It's a lot of effort. So it gives us some peek into that hypothesis anyway. Some of the strengths are we had this really rapid follow-up, which is, I would say, the key to any retrospective self-reported studies. Workers were hospitalized, so we have a validated outcome that they were truly injured. We have a very, I would say, generally heterogeneous occupations, not necessarily. There was a lot of manufacturing there, so I think it has some external validity. It's consistent with the short sleep durations being affected by the work shift starting time across probably international research, if you see it. I had mentioned that they slept generally longer hours, and we believe, and this is consistent with a survey that was done, they came up with 8 hours and 50 minutes, so you see we were pretty close. But what you see here is there's quite a bit of variation. In the U.S., workers are about 6.4 on work days and 7.4 on free days, weekends, etc. And we believe perhaps the longer sleeps that they were getting in general were impacting our ability to observe any kind of effect on alertness and sleepiness at the time of the injury or sleep quality. So we just published this, just came online in the Scandinavian Journal, Work Environment and Health, and so if you want to get a peek at it, it just came up online within a month or so. So I'd like to thank you very much and take any questions you have. Yeah. No, this is, we developed this questionnaire. We developed this, the brother-sister study to this in the U.S. in the early 2000s on the Old Norbert. We took that complete questionnaire. We asked the question on what's your occupation and what are your three major tasks at your work, so to speak. No, that comes from any kind of literature review we could do, based on the, like, the introduction. So, yes. I am not as familiar with the PRC culture. We do discuss it a little bit. We would imagine that there's, you know, there's family, just very similar to the U.S., family obligations, but there's clearly a bigger... There's a problem in both work shift start time, late night workers, but there's a big problem among for the women in those hours with regards to getting adequate sleep. So it's kind of the only thing we could draw from it from that. I think people who are familiar with PRC and culture can maybe get more feedback on that or think about that. Thank you. Hi. Yeah, let me respond to that. It's a good question. We did not just ask about their sleep duration. We actually asked what was the time they went to bed and what the time they woke up, specifically at local time, for not the night before the injury, but back 3 days. I mean, kind of, so we try to get a sense of whether or not there was some face validity with regards to, but it was more like what time did you go to bed and what time did you wake up versus what's your average sleep duration. So, without actigraphy or anything like that, again, these are cases, they're injured cases. They didn't know they were going to be injured. They weren't part of a large cohort. We don't have that information, but that's how we asked the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you have any other questions, we can hopefully have time at the end.
Feel free.
All right. Dr. Rodriguez.